Time now for the College Football Inquirer with Dan Wetzel.
Listen, I got heckled because a horse named after me got its Johnson cut off. Everything's fair game around here. That's a chicken wing. That thing shows up on your plate. You're like, all right.
SI's Ross Dellinger.
You know, I've been here for a couple days already. You know, the buzz is electric. I was at the call-in show last night. There was a lot of, you know, hey, coach, we're going to keep an extra blocker in when we pass the ball. You know, it was great. Vol calls. It was doesn't get better than that.
And SI's Pat Forty.
That makes no sense to me. That's a laundry line. That is a laundry line. Look at the two teams. Look at what they've done this year and figure out how Oklahoma can be a seven-point favorite.
Here's Pat, Russ, and Dan.
All right, welcome to Pod Race for the Case edition. One of the best weeks of games I can remember. Five matchups between ranked versus ranked teams. Or versus. Someone tells me I say it wrong.
Yes, versus is the correct pronunciation. I did see you getting roasted for that.
It's like every week. It's like somebody telling me I'm doing it wrong. You listen to this pod. You know I suck. You know it's just like, what do you want me to do? It's like, you know what I'm talking about.
People are trying to help you be better.
I don't think they are.
Take that criticism constructively.
Anyway, five of those. Great matchups all over the country. Pac-12, all five power leagues. Just intrigue everywhere. So we have got a great slate of games to pick. We have got other issues to discuss, trends. We got so much. This is going to be a great addition. And normally I kind of like to do the show where we talk football and then get into some of the nonsense at the end when you're kind of on the bad talk. You know, you're sitting there like breaking down, you know, what do you think of that Syracuse defense? And maybe the listeners aren't as interested. So, but we're going to kind of do it the wrong way today because I got to get through a few of the, we got to do some house cleaning. First off, I accept my Fat Bear title picking championship 747-1, just as I told you he would.
Yeah, we were dying to get to that topic.
That's the most important thing. Yeah, I still believe I deserve one extra bonus point in. How about a tie becomes a win? How about a tie becomes a win?
How about nothing? How about you get your Fat Bear champion because it's a keeper league, and you
didn't win last year
for like 3 years.
He didn't win. Rebuilt, committed to the salmon, sat in his jacuzzi and caught. He's an angler. He's an angler, they say.
Committed to the salmon.
Okay, so we have that. Thank you. I accept. You guys are all jealous. Okay, we had some females weigh in on the Ken. Should your wife make you not drink while she's pregnant?
Right.
Okay. Our listeners, our female listeners, you might be surprised to know we're all in favor of their husbands getting smashed. No problems. Here's my best one. Unnamed. Huge fan of the pod here. Woman, 40, Michigan grad, go blue. So you know we are out here. That's right. Women are listening. Why? I don't know. But there you are. I had two kids back to back, and I never expected my husband not to drink. I encouraged it because at least one of us should have fun.
There you go.
Then I used all of the 18 months that I was the designated driver and cashed it in when it mattered after the baby came.
Okay, see,
and this is a little trick because then does the guy feel comfortable just really getting after it if the wife's pregnant? So you gotta be committed because then you're stuck for like 18 months as the driver.
that's a long payback for that, but yeah. You know what, I think you got to shoot your shot when you got it and pay the piper later.
But as she
there's
says
a thing called Uber too, by the way.
Thing called Uber.
It's a very good point.
I used all 18 months and cashed it in when it mattered most after the baby came, which is exactly how I ended up pregnant 6 months after the first one was born.
Oh, that is good.
Yeah. So Thank you. Thank you for that. Yeah. Be careful out there. Be careful out there. All right. The phishing cheating scandal has got some, an ongoing saga of the guy that stuffed weights in the two guys that stuffed weights in their fish in a Lake Erie fishing competition to try to win $30,000. They have been arrested. They have been arrested.
As they should be. Arrested, jailed, perhaps deported. Like, just put out on a prison boat out in the middle of Lake Erie for an untold number of months. I had some walleye fishermen that were mad at my critique of walleye fishing as less noble than bass fishing, by the way.
Just making friends everywhere.
Yeah, there's always somebody mad.
Jacob Runyon and Chase Kaminsky have been charged with cheating, attempted grand theft, possessing criminal tools. Apparently, the fishing rod. What?
Yeah, what's the criminal? Lead weights.
And unlawful ownership of wild animals.
Really?
I don't know what that seems extreme. I think they're throwing the book at these guys.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I take every crime seriously, and I believe that these two individuals attempted to do was not only dishonorable, but criminal, prosecutor Michael O'Malley said.
Hey, I ain't messing with Michael O'Malley.
I consulted with a podcast legal correspondent, Craig Mordock of the Craig Mordock Law down in New Orleans. So he believes the attempted grand theft is really the crime. We were concerned on how in the world cheating, what is cheating and how is it a felony in Ohio? First off, have you been to Ohio? The whole damn state's just cheating everything. What Ohio are you living in where cheating is illegal? The whole state would be locked up.
There's been some election fraud allegations there, that's for sure.
Everything. Here is the thing. Okay, so we looked it up. Section 2915.05, cheating, corruption, corrupting sports. This is an actual law.
Wow.
Okay, no purpose. No person with purpose to defraud or knowing that the person is facilitating a fraud shall engage in conduct designed to corrupt the outcome of any of the following. One, the subject of a bet. Like, could that just be any, like, remember when I tried to pay the band to get Pete to dance at his wedding? Was I committing fraud?
That was absolutely corrupt.
Allegedly. I'm sorry. Allegedly.
That was complete corruption.
A contest of knowledge, skill, or endurance that is not an athletic sporting event.
Wow.
A scheme or game of chance. Bingo. Oh, hell yeah. You get your ass kicked with a bunch of old people hitting you with canes. And offer, give, solicit, or accept anything of value to corrupt the outcome of an athletic or sporting event. Engage in conduct designed to corrupt the outcome of the athletic or sporting event.
Boy, it's a very broad-based law.
Well, and here's the good news. It was enacted on September 30th, 2011. Fortunately, the Jim Tressel era ended in 2010.
Well, I know everything was pristine with Urban, so... You know.
Oh, yeah, right. No cheating there.
Mm-hmm.
Is this the way Ohio State falls? A Michigan law alum.
There you go.
Wins gets named the prosecutor of Franklin County, where Columbus is, and then charges the entire Ohio State Athletic Department with cheating and locks them up. Is this how it happens?
You know, I mean, somebody will try it. I don't know whether you can become the prosecutor of that county, but somewhere in the state, you could file a suit against the Ohio State University, since it's the university for the whole state. You know, some enterprising guy in Toledo who's a Michigan grad can get on that. Why not? This was on the books when they had that 4th-and-1. You remember when all the Michigan fans, like, published the names of the officials for that game and the 4th-and-1 JT Barrett run that was, he was either down short or he wasn't. And then, the most famous measurement in the sport.
They try to use global positioning to claim. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I kind of thought he made it, but I don't know. It was like one of those ones. Like, you got to pick a side.
Were you in the stadium? I was there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But
yeah,
I wasn't right on the line. I mean, it was close. It was very close. Right.
If only we had technology to put a chip in the ball.
And chip in the ball. I don't know.
Lasers on the field.
Something other than 10 yards worth of chain link being held by two fat guys.
That's right. That's right. And an official eyeballing it. The old eyeballing. Yeah. Yes.
Eyeballing it. Yeah. I love when they pull out like the little card, the business card or the credit card. Like, there's a little air still in there.
Mm-hmm. That would take away the 6 minute delays in the second quarter as we debate whether someone's got the first down or it's second and inches.
Yes, it would.
I don't think you should do the thing until it's at least fourth down. Second down delay a game measurement. Yeah,
right. They don't do that much anymore, I will say. I think the refs have been taught if it's close and it's not fourth down, wave it on. Right. You see a lot of this.
Yeah.
Anyway, a felony in Ohio, up to 1 year in prison. It's a fifth degree felony. I mean, it's not a look out.
Yeah, these dudes really may go do the lockup. Hard to believe.
What are you in for, buddy? Well,
stuffed a walleye with lead weights.
Can you imagine the reaction of the prison mate? You know, I guess you'd rather hear that than stuffed lead weights down a human's throat and killed him. You know,
it's like Dahmer. Yeah. Look, man,
I would rather be in with those people.
Yeah, you'd be like, dude, when I get out, will you take me fishing? Like, yeah, I'm still a pretty good fisherman. Like, I was a pro fisherman.
Yeah, I did catch the walleye, and we just had to enhance the walleye's weight.
Rattling around the prison yard with that. Oh, man. Think your crime's stupid. We're all innocent in here.
Yeah.
All right, I actually just got a message from our previous, the woman who got drunk, got liquored up and knocked up after not driving. She says you can use my name, Monica. She has a weird Twitter handle. So that doesn't tell you anything. She's real. It's a real person. Yeah, apparently. No. I don't know. Who cares?
She's got a good story. I like it.
Good story. All right. So there you go. That's you have it. All right. Let's talk a little bit of football here. I had to get through some of those. We got some more.
What about the horse?
Oh, how's my horse doing? Wetzel the horse. Yes. I'm not following this, but you get what's going on, Pat?
Don't worry, Pat.
There is a horse named Wetzel.
Good-looking horse, I bet.
I admit I have not seen a picture of the horse.
Glasses, gray hair.
You're 2 years old, so you're eligible for the 2023 Derby.
It's coming.
The Kentucky Derby. You were born in 2020. You are an Ohio bred.
Okay.
You actually have some good blood in you, believe it or not. I've never heard of your sire or dam, but on the dam side, Quality Road was a very good horse, and on the sire side, Unbridled Song, a very good horse. So you got some pedigree.
That's right, baby. Now,
you actually you fetched something of a price. Is it to you? Somebody paid $52,000 for you.
Wow,
just hard to believe.
We're coming.
We're coming.
you ran your first race at Belterra Park in suburban Cincinnati. I've been there. You finished second. Not terrible. Yep. You got like $4,800 in purse. But here's the kicker, Wetzel.
What's that? Oh, we're going to win.
No, you're a gelding.
Oh, ouch.
What does that mean?
Yeah. That means that your manhood has been removed.
Oh, no. No. No, Dan. Hey, what happened?
Whatever it takes. We're committed to victory. We are committed to victory. Whatever it takes, Wetzel the horse.
Yeah. I'm committed to procreating. That's over. That's done. We'll never be a sire.
Why'd they do that? Why do they do that?
Two reasons why you do that. First of all,
big. It's probably
too big, too big, monstrous. Too much weight when running.
That's what I was thinking. Yeah. That's what I'm going with.
While you have some decent breeding, you're not well-bred enough that they're like, oh, yeah, he's going to be stallion material that's going to make money. So, no, you're cheap enough. And two, you're fractious. You're a handful probably, right? So you're a pain in the ass. You're hard to manage. And so the one way to calm down a high-strung horse.
Yeah. Is this an employee review? I don't need this right now.
Now, the question is, like in the old days, do you know what they used to do when they gelded a horse with the gelded material?
I don't know if I want to know.
No.
Oh, please. I don't think
I'm glad I know. They threw it on top of the barn for good luck.
Oh. All right.
Wow. Yeah. After removing the gelded material, they would throw it up on top of the
barn. I really thought you were going to say sent to a food processing plant or something.
Yeah, I was expecting.
Something bad.
Yeah.
Yeah.
How the sausage is
anyway,
made, right?
Good luck to Wetzel. Wetzel the gelding.
We're focused on winning. We have no other pursuits now. There's nothing, right?
That is technically, yes. That's the
goal. All right. Well, that's all right.
Nine geldings have won the Derby. One Ohio bred gelding, Wintergreen in 1909.
About time for another one. About time for another one.
Yeah. Good luck. Good luck to Wetzel the horse. This will be an ongoing saga. We will update the listenership every time.
Okay. Wetzel runs. The horse is coming for you. Or not. Or not. All right. Some games here. We will pick the five of the bigger games, but I wanted to get to a few others that are really interesting. As we said, this is not the week for apple picking. This is not the week for the cider mill. Mm-mm. The leaves
no
can
pumpkin
wait.
Patch.
No pumpkin patch. This is football time. Get serious. Lock in. Couple I'm interested in. Florida LSU. Battle of the LSU coaches, sort of. Billy Napier had been sitting at Louisiana winning games for 4 years. And Scott Woodward, the AD at LSU, didn't want him. He wanted the big fish. As he tends to be, Scott Woodward is a big game hunter. He goes after it, and he hires Brian Kelly out of Notre Dame instead. Florida pounces and takes Billy Napier. Now they're going to play. They play every year, at least in the current construct. And I got to figure there's a little sizzle on that. That not only does Napier, not only they both want to win, but Napier would love to show LSU wrong choice. Even though he's set up great at Florida, still got that little jilted bit. And I'm sure Brian Kelly would like to prove that they got the right guy and he doesn't need this narrative going down of, boy, they should have hired Napier, who at least knows how to pronounce family properly.
I'm here with my family.
Ross. So we got a little crawfish sizzle on this. Or am I making too much of it?
I think it is an interesting wrinkle to this game. You know, as you said, for 4 years he sat down there, and then, you know, I don't know that Billy was waiting for the LSU job to come open. I know that Billy and a lot of people around him knew that soon the LSU job would come open. Had assumed that was something that would happen, and I think in a way a lot of them thought that. You know, he would get that job. And during the process, the search process, I think a lot of people around him reached out to LSU, and they had no interest. And even heard late in the process, there was kind of a last attempt to say, hey, you know, if you guys aren't interested, this is the last chance you have before, I accept the job at Florida. And I quote, an LSU official told someone close to Billy, take the Florida job. So he did. And I think for him and his staff, a lot of them were with him at Louisiana. A lot of them are from Louisiana. This is a really big game.
Yeah, there's a lot of intrigue there. This is one of the more underrated rivalries, too, in the sport. And I'm sad that they probably will hit a point here where they don't play each other every year. But, I mean, think of all the crazy stuff that's happened in this rivalry. There was the Hurricane grudge match a few years ago where, like, Florida didn't want to play because the hurricane was coming, and LSU basically said they were chicken and they had to reschedule it. And I think they ended up playing in Baton Rouge, didn't they, Ross?
They did. Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
Two states that have absolutely been annihilated by hurricanes calling each other wimps over hurricane purple.
This game is we always talk about the LSU Auburn game as being, wow, it's just like crazy and goofy and you never know what can happen. This game's getting like that too.
It is the shoe game.
Always bizarre. Yeah, I was at that game. Yeah, I was at that game in 2020 down there, and the fog in the shoe. Just bizarre. Always just some bizarre stuff happening in this one. So I expect something crazy on Saturday night. I have family members that live down there going to the game. I have a feeling they'll be in the LSU section wearing purple and gold, and I told them just be ready. Be ready for the weird. It's coming.
Yeah. It's usually, you know, I don't know whether either team is any good, but it's something wild will happen. Yeah. It'll be close and competitive, I would say.
I think 2-7, 5-8-4 teams, you know.
Yeah, right. But it helps to get that win, and you got a better shot at 8-4, you know, or if not better. So it's a little bit of a ladder game. It's not quite because they're not in the same division, but pretty big game for both teams, and that's a little side bit to it. Clemson, FSU. In the past, this used to be the biggest game going. Clemson visiting Tallahassee. This was like William Christopher. I'll say it wrong. Dabo. You guys are Dabo.
There you go. Dabo.
Fake name. Wrong. It's not a word. It's not a word. Dabo. William Christopher used to point to this one if we could just get by Florida State. Well, they got past them. They got past them. They stole their program. But going in, Florida State's better. I think they've kind of like found ways to lose the last 2 weeks.
They have.
This is a big game for Mike Norvell. It's a big game for Clemson, obviously. But this game's got a little bit more spice. But if I'm Mike Norvell, obviously you win this game and it changes a lot about the program. If you lose, you know, they're 4-2. They've got three winnable games. They got a game against Miami, which really may not be any good at all. Miami, I don't know.
Yeah.
They got Florida at the end. FSU's in this spot where, yeah, it could be 9-3, could be 8-4, could be 7-5. And then you've got Coach Prime up the road with your former number one recruit about to go undefeated maybe in the SWAC. And just feel like there's a little bit of pressure on this game. Obviously, beating Clemson would be a huge thing, but for Mike Norvell to at least have it be a really good game. Pat, thoughts on that?
Yeah, that's exactly right. What Mike Norvell has done has elevate Florida State to the point where they're not just losing these, like, oh my God, how did you do that games, you know, like to teams that are bad. They are beating most of the bad teams they should beat. But the one thing he has not done is win any big games. Beating Miami last year in what was actually a very exciting game is the closest thing he has to a good win. You know, they have not beaten a ranked team. I don't believe they've beaten Florida. No, he's only played Florida once last year, and they didn't beat Florida. So it's time. You should be getting close to putting a skin on the wall. And they did play Wake Forest and North Carolina State pretty close. They totally blew the North Carolina State game last week. You're in field goal range for down two, and Jordan Travis throws an interception in the end zone. It's just like, what are you doing? You know, you can win the game with a kick there, and you don't. Between that, just some game management stuff. I mean, the way they almost blew the LSU game early. So he's still got some proving to do, and this would do a lot for him. I think for Florida State fans, if they could beat Clemson, I don't think they're going to do it. But it's one of the last chances really on the resume to do something that really excites the fan base. You do have Miami. You do have Florida. You have number 18 Syracuse, who probably will not be number 18 by the time you play them. But this would be a big, big, big win for Mike Norvell if he could get it.
Yeah, it felt like, well, coming into the season, I think there was a lot of buzz about, obviously, Mike Norvell's job status. And as you mentioned, Dan, the fact that Deion Sanders, an alum, is tearing it up at the SWAC, and there almost seemed to be just like a notion that this was going to happen, that Deion will be the next Florida State coach. And then the Noles went on a pretty good run, beat LSU, beat a couple other, you know, started what, at 4-0, and there was a sense that that kind of calmed down, and here we are staring down the barrel of a three-game losing streak, which, you know, you would think could bring that scenario back into play.
Yeah, Coach Prime just sitting there, like, lording over everything, even though he is not. All right, fascinating situation here. FCS game. North Alabama and Jacksonville State are playing. I'm sure everyone's got that circled.
Oh, yeah.
Rich Rod.
They are playing neutral site game at the baseball stadium of in Madison, Alabama, which is a suburb of Huntsville in the northern part of the state. These are two, obviously, Jacksonville State is not Jacksonville, Florida. It's Jacksonville, Alabama. So it is a, you know, good idea. Let's do it. Minor league baseball stadium, kind of fun. The Rocket City Trash Pandas. This is where they usually play. Big fans of the awesome. Trash Pandas.
Oh, yeah. For those who don't know, a trash panda is a raccoon.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And Rocket City is Huntsville. So there it is. Yeah, however, the stadium's a little small. So they laid out the field and they realized that at one end zone, the one going into the outfield, you know, it's very easy to crash into the wall. So they kind of had to dummy this up. The game will be played due to required safety protocols. All offensive drives will be played in one direction towards the first base dugout.
No, Dan, stop. Yeah, this can't be real.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
This is real.
Let me change plans and fly down to Birmingham and drive to this game instead of Tennessee, Alabama. I mean, Lord.
6 p.m. You can get it on ESPN Plus, of course. Yeah. Now, you can obviously, you got the pick six or the kickoff or the scoop and score. You can run the other way, and presumably there won't be like a play at the back of the end zone where someone gets just drilled into the left field wall and, like, you know. So I'm not even sure the whole end zone can fit over there. There seem to be some issues, right? Good idea. And yeah, so devil's in the details. So everything is going, so they'll punt and then they'll set up and go one way. Jesus. One way. So if you got the good seats in the end zone, though, like, every play's coming at you.
Also, that's going to add so much time to the game. Think about that. Stop, and then you have to reverse field. You have to walk all the way across. Like,
A goal line stand. Yeah, long walk. Your linemen are going to get tired.
Yeah, like all the way, you know, walking all the way across the field. Jeez.
Ref's got to do a little bit of math, you know. Like,
I'm sure Rich Rod is thrilled about this.
Yeah, one direction. Right. Which one? Who gets the wind, right? That's no longer a factor. We both
know. Everybody both gets the wind. With or without,
Yeah, this reminds me of when they played the basketball game on the aircraft carrier and didn't realize it would get wet because it was at sea and, like, the mist would.
Oh, yeah, right.
And they couldn't keep it dry. Yeah. And then, like, the Navy or the Air Force people were like, yeah, well, that happens because it's like.
Yeah. Like, yeah, you're on the ocean.
Yeah, the deck often gets really wet because. Yeah, it's hard to control.
I think it was when that happened, I declared that I was tired. I was over the Air Force or the aircraft carrier gimmick, and an ESPN exec direct messaged me very bitterly that we need to be able to honor the military, and they're doing that and basically get with the program.
Well, they're bringing it back. I think they're bringing back. Michigan State's probably in it or something. I don't know. All right, so we got that. All right, other games of note, Minnesota at Illinois. Didn't have this one circled.
Best of the Big Ten West.
Might determine the Big Ten West. Now, Purdue's still there, and they only have one league loss. But Minnesota at Illinois, huge game. Huge game.
And that's going to be blunt force trauma, much like Illinois and Iowa was last week. I mean, that's going to be like 14-13 or something. Bet the under, whatever it is. It's going to be a low total, I'm sure. But these are two teams that run the ball and play defense. The game will last like 2 hours and 50 minutes. I'd like to cover it for that reason.
Pretty quick. Yeah, you get a leg up on it, and obviously there's Purdue. Of all the games, is there anyone who is more desperate for a win in college football? And this is a desperate group. There's some desperation out there. But is anyone more desperate than Brett Venables at Oklahoma as Kansas arrives? OU, still a 7-point favorite.
That makes no sense to me. That's a laundry line. That is a laundry line. Look at the two teams. Look at what they've done this year and figure out how Oklahoma can be a 7-point favorite. Makes no sense other than the fact that Kansas' starting quarterback is likely out. But the backup, Jason Bean, was really good last week and has played a lot of football and was good against Oklahoma last year. So I don't get that. Boy, that one makes no sense to me.
What happens if Kansas wins this game?
The earth splits open in Norman. Yeah, it would be extremely bad for Brent Venables. That's for sure. The only thing he could do is say, "Hey, Lance Leipold's in his second year. Wait till I'm in my second year. We'll get this thing going."
They beat UTEP, Kent State. They won at Nebraska. They'd get swept by the Kansas schools. I'm sure there's going to be some, prehistoric stat on that. That hasn't happened since the War of 1812 or something.
Last time Kansas won in Norman was 1996. I'm surprised it was that recent, but there was like a 4-year stretch where Oklahoma was terrible in the mid 90s.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I don't see a lot of patience. I don't know. I don't know what's going to happen, but that's that one. Other one I'm really interested in the big 12. Not the Oklahoma State. We'll get to Oklahoma State, TCU. But how good is Quinn Ewers this weekend against Iowa State?
Mm-hmm.
He's been fantastic in the games we've seen, and does he just light up Iowa State? He's a potential game changer on all of that. So pretty good. And
I'm telling you, keep an eye on that Texas Mulligan theory, Mulligan. See if that plays out.
Yeah.
It goes along.
The committee looks at that stuff, So,
yep.
All right. One last thing here. Virginia Tech and Virginia, they don't play to the end of the year, of course. They announced a new trophy. Have you seen this trophy?
I have.
The Commonwealth Clash is the new trophy. You have a Hokie bird on one end, and you have the Cavalier on the other. And they're both grabbing and pulling on kind of the map of Virginia.
Mm-hmm.
However, if you look at the map of Virginia, it looks like a chicken drumlet, like a chicken wing. if you can think of Virginia in your mind, there's like that long back end part that's like Tennessee-ish. And then it goes and gets really like wide there.
It's fat. It's got some meat on the bone.
Is this just a chicken wing fight? Can we call this the chicken wing trophy? Yeah,
sure, why not? I like the trophy. I thought it was pretty good. Yeah.
I think the Hokies got more in it because he's a bird and that chicken wing might be someone he knows.
He's fighting for family.
Doesn't it look like a chicken wing? Ross, you live down there.
I'm producer still trying
Sean,
to find
you're
it.
In the Commonwealth of Virginia.
Yeah,
I know. I very much resent that the state.
Like. State looks like a chicken wing.
It does not look like a chicken wing, Dan.
It's a little flat on the bottom, but it's a chicken wing.
Look, I've kept my mouth shut about the elitist 747 win over my 901 selection. You rigged the ballots on that. I can stay quiet about that. State does not look like a chicken
wing. It does.
Wow. Sean, we've got Sean rolled up here.
It kind of looks like a turkey leg. It kind of looks like a turkey leg to me.
Turkey leg.
The Disney
Ross,
turkey leg.
What are you doing? You live nearby.
Come on. It's like a half of a turkey leg,
Listen,
like it.
I got heckled because a horse named after me got its jauncey cut off. Everything's fair game around here. That's a chicken wing. That thing shows up on your plate. You're like, all right. Winner should get a big old, come on, brand this thing. Let's get B-dubs down there or somebody. It's got to be a local chicken wing thing in Virginia. That's a chicken wing.
Sean's going to quit the podcast over this slander here.
The Commonwealth of Virginia has been around since the 1700s, and I may be the first person to ever declare that it looks like a chicken wing.
You might be.
I don't know. I haven't looked. Maybe if someone else, I didn't steal your idea. Just, I think that Hokie, you see the Hokie's pulling harder too. It looks like.
He's putting a little more effort into it.
Yeah. It's like, is that Cousin Jenny? You know what the heck? What is a Hokie bird?
It's like a turkey or something, isn't it?
It's a fake bird.
Yeah. It's a fake bird. That like a Jayhawk.
The Hokie. I mean, it's a weird looking bird too. Got socks. It's got a tail. It's got that weird like frog head almost, and then it's got socks. I don't know. The Cavaliers just pull out the sword and slap. I mean, come on.
Yeah, but you know, look, Virginia Tech cares more about football than Virginia does, so of course the Hokie's gonna pull harder.
See this trophy, low man wins. The Hokie's gonna win this. Plus it's much easier to grab the bottom of the drumstick than the top.
That's true.
This is anyway. That's my take on that. All right, let's pick some games. Let's pick some games. Yeah, I think it's more than time. I need to focus.
yeah. Lock in, Dan.
I need to focus. All right, race for the case. Let's see what we got here.
All bad. I backslid. I got over 500 in that chesty.
I went 3-2-1.
I don't remember what I did.
My locks of the week are absolute gold. And if you want to know how much research I put into it, I have not picked this week's lock of the. I haven't even looked.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Three of my locks.
But so. I think I'm nailing all my locks of the week. Clemson destroyed BC last week, and that was easy money. Easy money. All right. Number 10, Penn State visits number 5, Michigan. Game is at high noon on Fox. 4 straight weeks, Urban Meyer has had to watch a Michigan game in his second trip to Ann Arbor in a month. Whatever he did to Jacksonville, the football gods are making him pay. That's funny. Michigan is a 7-point favorite. Pat Forty, who you got?
Hail to the victors, Valiant. I'm sticking with Michigan there. I'm impressed with what Penn State has done this year. They've handled business away from home twice. But I think this is a big step up. I think Michigan's very solid all the way around. The Penn State defense bends but tends not to break. I think Michigan has the skill personnel to make them break. J.J. McCarthy, Blake Corum, the receiving core. They've got the guys that can get in the end zone. So I'm going to take Michigan and give the 7.
Well, we've talked about this earlier in the week that the number one thing is for Penn State is, you know, slowing Blake Corum. They've got to do that. And I'm going to say that the 5th best rushing defense in the nation, which Penn State has, is going to do that. They allow under less than 80 yards of rushing a game. So I'm going to say that the defense stands tall. It hangs in there and has a chance to win at the end. And so give me the Nittany Lions there to cover the 7.
I think I'm going to roll with Ross here. I like that Penn State defense. I like how Joey Porter Jr. plays. I think he's a stud on the outside. I think Michigan is going to take Penn State lightly for whatever reason. I don't know why. Penn State has an extremely veteran quarterback in Sean Clifford, who I'll trust, and they have good young running backs, and they have just a solid team. I think Penn State's looking to make a statement. You guys made the we're talking about earlier in the week on the Tuesday show that somebody has to finish in third place. And I don't think Penn State wants to keep on doing that. So I'm going to go with Penn State in this game.
Michigan's beaten no one. Penn State's beaten Purdue and kind of no one. This is tricky, but I love those rush. I love the running attack for Penn State. I just think the theory is they have not unleashed the full offense at Michigan because they haven't had to. And J.J. McCarthy will be more. It'll be a little more wide open. They're at home. It's a big physical defensive line. It'll be the toughest group that Penn State has tried to run against. I hate the 7. It's a lot. I wish it was lower, but I'm going to take Michigan in this game. but I'm not a, I'm not hugely confident in it. But I'm going on the theory that they will play more aggressive on offense and score more points. But we'll see. It's not. I don't like. That's a little bit of a fentanyl game to me. Don't touch it. Just don't touch it. But
just watch it. It'll be fun. It'll be good.
Great game. I'm going to be there. I'm going to go to the game.
That's good.
Yeah.
Good.
There you go. Yeah. All right. Number 15, North Carolina State is visiting the Carrier Dome. Number 18, Syracuse. Huge. Unexpected game. 3:30. And you can watch it on the ACC network. So, yeah, no one saw this one coming. Syracuse is giving 3.5. The over-under, only 41.5 in this game. Ross, who you got?
Yeah, give me Syracuse is a 3.5-point favorite? Is that right? Mm-hmm. Man, wow. This would be my lock of the week, I think, if we weren't picking it. Give me NC State to cover on the road that that 3.5. I just don't have faith in the Orange. I don't know really. They haven't really beaten a quality opponent. Louisville, Connecticut, Purdue, Virginia, and Wagner. So this is when I think the run for Syracuse ends. I think Dave Dorn and them go in there and not only cover, but get the victory.
Well, I'm reasonably sure the line is what it is because of Devin Leary's status at quarterback for NC State. He got hurt in the third quarter last week, shoulder injury. And, you know, it's been one of those where, well, we're not sure, blah, 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 blah. We'll see. I think that probably the suspicion is he's not going to play. And then NC State screwed. And this is another very lucky break for Syracuse in a season where they've had a few of them. Because when Devin Leary went out last week, they attempted two more passes the rest of the game, one of which was the running back throwing to the quarterback. So they ain't got a lot of faith in their backup. Now, they've had a week to get him ready, but still, this sets up well for a surprisingly good Syracuse defense. They are much improved over anything they've put on the field in a long time. They're only giving up 14 points a game. I'm going to roll with the Q's here because I have no faith in the NC State backup QB. Give me the Orange, and I will lay the points.
The hook is the only reason I am not going with Syracuse in this game. I'm going with NC State. I think they're just, as a team, better to not lose by 4 points. I think maybe they lose by 3-2. I'm close to Ross's backdoor push here and not loving this pick. I hate this pick, but I'm going with NC State.
Don't pick the game until you know whether Devin Leary's playing, okay? So pick this thing at 3:29 p.m. On Saturday. We don't have that luxury. I'm going to say plays. I'll tell you what scares me. They are trending to a sellout. They got 45,000 seats sold right now at Syracuse. They'll, you know, it gets over 50. But they are trending to a sellout. And that place, when it is rowdy, because it is a dome, is probably the loudest stadium in the country. It can be, at least. I mean, back in the day, that it's so loud. It's a small dome too. It's not one of these new domes.
Yeah, no, it's compact.
This thing's sure. got no room. You know, it is just the roof's low. It's the acoustics are just everything rattles around in there. Unbelievable home field advantage when Syracuse is good. That said, I'm gonna count on NC State. They're the better team. Syracuse is gonna have to prove it to me, but. And so if I'm getting points, I'm going to take it. So I'll take the Wolf Pack on that. Pat, I think you're a loner on that?
I'm lone wolf against the Wolf Pack. Bring
lone
it on.
Orange. Lone orange.
Yeah, lone orange.
All right, monster game number 3, Alabama visits number 6, Tennessee, 3:30 on CBS. Alabama is giving 7. The Vols home dogs on a touchdown game here. Pat?
We'll hear from Ross here in a minute because he's been there all week, get the vibe on the place. I think, and I will preface this by saying I think we have picked Alabama 3 times, has been in the picks, and I've gotten it wrong every single time.
Hate him.
When I give the points, the tide doesn't cover. When I take the points, the tide covers. So, but I think Tennessee's better. I'm taking Tennessee. I'm taking the points at home. I think it's going to be one of the wildest atmospheres of the year anywhere. As long as they don't come in overamped and just start screwing up left and right, I think they can execute and run that tempo offense, and they've got playmakers. Brew McCoy's been playing great. We don't know whether Cedric Tillman's coming back yet at receiver. But I like the Vols and what they're doing, and I did not like what I saw from Alabama last week. Now, they get Bryce Young back, they will look a lot better. But still, that has not been a well-oiled machine at times this year and last year, so I'm going with Big Orange.
Yeah, I, Texas and Arkansas and certainly Texas A&M last week exposed some issues on the Tide. They are clearly vulnerable. And while we all expect, I think, Bryce Young back, I don't know that Bryce Young's going to be 100%. You know, a sprained throwing shoulder is a pretty serious thing. So, you know, it's going to be loud. It's going to be crazy here. It's been, you know, I've been here for a couple of days already. You know, the buzz is electric. I was at the call-in show last night. There was a lot of, you know, hey, coach, we're going to keep an extra blocker in when we pass the ball. You know, it was great. Vol calls. It was doesn't get better than that.
Love ball calls.
So, ball calls, baby. So everybody is amped up and ready to go. And I don't know that Tennessee wins. It wouldn't surprise me. But I definitely think they cover the touchdown. I think this is going to be a fun, tight game back and forth.
I will be leaving the Rhode Island homecoming game early to watch this show in its entirety. Tennessee and Hendon Hooker, I think, are going to cover this game. I think that it's too big for the town of Knoxville to not cover. Just everybody showed up, everybody on their boats. It's too much to not cover. If they don't cover, then they're just going to landslide for the next decade. So this is a program-defining game, I think, for the Vols.
I like it.
Disappointment is like Tennessee's middle name. I could see the not cover. So you guys all pick the Vols.
We all pick the Vols.
I want to pick the Vols, but if you're going to give me Alabama, I'm taking Alabama. A different team with Bryce Young. Bryce Young's going to play. Bama's going to win. Oh, God. Bama's going to win. I'm just taking them. I've had enough of you, Nick Saban. Go back to just kicking everyone's ass, would you?
Yeah. You used to be really, really dependable. Like, just take Bama, give the points, period.
Going back to
squirrely.
Rule one of college football gambling. Don't bet against Alabama. I'm not betting against Alabama. I'm taking Alabama. It's a totally different deal with Bryce Young. This is a team that is used to these monster games. Tennessee, this is the biggest game ever. They're walking around. Everyone's pumping their tires around town, talking about extra blocks. It's total mayhem, right, Ross?
Yeah. Mayhem in Knoxville. It's wild. Yes. Yes.
Yes. Total mayhem. It's just going to be too much. Alabama, Crimson Tide. I hate that 7. Again, what is these damn spreads?
Someone like Vegas knows what they're doing.
They do.
Number 8, Oklahoma State at number 13, TCU. The game is at 3:30. It is on ABC. The Horned Frogs, 4-point favorites, given 4, over under 68.5. Ross, who you got?
Man, what a quarterback showdown in this one.
Yes.
Sanders and Dugan. Yeah, I mean, just two guys that put up some absurd numbers, two undefeated teams, top of the Big 12 on the line, the lead in the Big 12 on the line, and both these teams play big games. The next week they host, I think TCU hosts Kansas State, Oklahoma State hosts Texas. So somebody's going to be undefeated going into those big home games next week with a real chance to, you know, to be 6-0, 7-0 to start the year. I think I was surprised by this line. I know they're at home, but I think Oklahoma State covers this one, and not only that, but wins on the road at TCU. I think the Sonny Dykes run here to start his career at TCU ends at the hands of the Pokes.
Oh boy, I don't know what to do with this game. I pretty much agree with everything Ross said, but I am still just kind of got that little doubt in the back of my mind that, like, maybe TCU's really legit, you know? And it could be I was in down there in August, and they very much liked their team, and I might be drinking that Kool-Aid with them, but give me the purple Kool-Aid. Give me the Frogs. I think it's going to be an absolute shootout. This is going to be old school Big 12, where it's going to be like 45-41, and the last team with the ball scores to win at the end. So I will go with TCU and lay the points, but not with great conviction.
I don't think Oklahoma State is playing around at all this year. They were not playing around when they played Baylor. I think they're going to continue that with TCU. They're not fighting for the playoff necessarily, but they're fighting to become legit for the playoff moving forward. And that started last year. So I think they're going to continue it. Oklahoma State, I have covering the four.
Oklahoma State going down to Baylor and winning was one of the more impressive games of the year. I think it's that same mindset. I'll take the Pokes on this. Coach Gundy, the mullet hits Fort Worth.
I'm Lone Frog and Lone Orange. Yeah. I'm a little scared.
You're literally on a ledge with Syracuse and TCU. Yeah. I hope you feel Thanks. Good. I'm on a ledge with Alabama.
What have I done?
Only four picks in. We ain't even done yet.
Yeah.
Number 7, USC. At number 20, Utah. Game is at 8 p.m. on Fox prime time. Utah is giving 3.5. Pat, we're back to you for the first pick.
Yep, I'll be there for that game. I'm looking forward to it. That's a really kind of an underrated venue, I think, Rice-Eccles Stadium. They can get it going there. Nice setting. Utah's been a disappointment so far. The line suggests that Vegas thinks this is where they turn it around. I'm not going that way. I'm taking USC. Been super impressed with them. I bet against them last week on my lock of the week, went with Washington State, and Washington State didn't come close to covering. So that was an impressive win for the Trojans to me. And it's not just Caleb Williams and Jordan Addison and Travis Dye and all the offensive weapons. The defense is so much better than it was. And they've got playmakers on that side of the ball. Defensively, Tuli Tuipulotu has been fantastic. 6'4", 290, leads the nation in sacks right now. Had 3 sacks in that game against Washington State. He's been a monster. So I'm rolling with the Trojans to cover the spread and win outright.
Yeah, defensively, as you mentioned, USC has been, I mean, they haven't been great, right? They're top 50, top 45 in the nation, but that's a lot better than what they were last year and really the years before. And they're getting to, as been discussed quite a bit, they're getting turnovers. They lead the nation by far. In turnover margin, they've gotten, 12? They've picked off 12 passes. They've recovered 3 fumbles. And they've only lost 1 turnover, only 1 interception that happened with Caleb Williams last week in the end zone against Washington State's first turnover of the season. So, yeah, give me the Trojans. I badly want to pick Utah at home. I'm sure it's going to be an electric environment. But like you said, Pat, they have been a little disappointing. And in USC... My surprise CFP pick, preseason CFP pick, making me look good. Keep it rolling.
Yeah.
Utah has had trouble with Anthony Richardson down in Florida, running QB. They had trouble with DTR last week in UCLA. Where do they get a load of Caleb Williams? That's my thought on this game. I will take the Trojans. Especially when you're getting some points. So I think we swept through that. All right, lock of the week.
How about Sean? Wait, we need Sean's pick on that.
Oh, I jumped Sean. I'm sorry, Sean.
See, you slandered his state.
I was so excited. I got distracted. I'm looking for my lock of the week right now, and I was contemplating Florida Atlantic Rice. That's how down that's how I got. I lost track of the show.
For USC Utah, I'm sticking with the spite pick going against Utah, USC to cover. I don't think they should be underdogs. That's a complete team that they have. And Utah, again, the disappointment this year, I'm going to roll against them as long as I can. So USC to cover.
All right. Lock of the week time. Ross, you're first.
Oh, man. I was trying to pick between two games, and I'm having a lot of trouble. My lock of the weeks this year have not really worked out well. I think I'm 3-3. Not really what you want. If you're betting with my lock of the week, you know, you've got some lost juice money there. But having said all that, right, give me the Hoosiers at home to cover against Maryland. Funny enough, Maryland was my lock of the week last week. They did not cover. So I would need the Hoosiers to make some noise this week. Sean, what do you got that at? 11? Is that what I saw? 11, 11 and a half?
I have Indiana as 11 and a half.
Yeah, points. 11 wow. and a half. Wow. So I know that seems shockingly large. So give me the Hoosiers to cover and do enough to hang around there.
Certified lock.
Yeah, I'm torn between a couple of games here. They're both at noon. I am not going to take Illinois getting 3.5 against Minnesota, but I'd like to. I think Illinois is a home dog. There is a better team than Minnesota, so I would take Illinois there. But I'm putting my money where my big fat mouth has been, and I'm taking the laundry line. I'm taking Kansas and the touchdown. I think is it 7, Sean? In that?
Yeah, 7.
All right, give me the touchdown. Give me the Jayhawks. I've seen Oklahoma. They're very bad at football. And if they get off to a bad start here, I think that becomes an extremely negative environment because those fans are getting really frustrated. And if they think, oh, my God, we're going to lose to Kansas, they're going to turn on that team. And I think Kansas is pretty good, even with the backup quarterback, with Jason Bean, who can sling it and can run as well. I like the Jayhawks. I like all their weapons. I like what they've done with this team. If they don't flatten out after the big game day game, I think they come in and certainly cover and probably win.
Certified lock.
I am, I'm going to look a little bit like a hypocrite here, but I'm going with Miami covering 7 versus Virginia Tech this week. Not necessarily because Miami is a very good school, but because Virginia Tech is not very good at all.
They're bad.
Giving up 6 touchdowns to a running back from Pitt. They're just very confused. It's a lost program. Miami winning by a touchdown or more makes sense to me.
Certified lock.
They're also distracted by the chicken wing they're going to get at the end of the year. I mean, it's natural. It's just absolutely natural. All right. I have my lock of the week. I am taking the Toledo Rockets. Daquan Finn. Super talented quarterback, leads the team in obviously passing, also rushing. Detroit King High School. Finn is really good. This team is really good. My mark on when I'm looking at MAC teams is when you start winning. The MAC is the most even league in sports. Like all the schools are kind of the same. They kind of recruit. Nobody dominates. When you start winning games by 2 touchdowns or more, even double digits, you have a chance to you're against anyone in the league. You got a chance to be really good. And Toledo has done that the last 2 weeks. They beat Central Michigan by 3 touchdowns. They beat Northern Illinois by 20 points, almost 3 touchdowns. And I think they're going to beat Kent State by more than 7.5 on Saturday. Game is at the Glass Bowl, great stadium. I think this Toledo team is a force in the West. Buffalo kind of separating themselves in the East. I think everyone kind of – Toledo got just trucked at Ohio State, 77-21. But whatever, Ohio State and Kent State. So I like Toledo to win by more than 7.5. That is my lock of the week. And I'm going to see if these guys – my theory takes off here in the MAC.
Certified lock.
So, all right. It's pretty good picks. Pretty good picks. I expect 6-0.
Yeah.
We'll be back on Sunday. Unbelievable day of games.
Oh, it's going to be great.
Especially at that noon and 3:30 right there during the day. I'll give you a hint. Next week doesn't look as good. We'll see what happens.
Yeah, so if you got to go to the pumpkin patch.
Push the pumpkin patch off. Say next Saturday. How about this? I'll set it up. Yeah, this week, get yourself in front of a TV or at the games. Enjoy them all. We'll be back on Sunday to overreact to all of them. And please continue to subscribe, share us on social media, send us stupid stories, and tell your friends about us, all of that. We will talk to you later.